Matthew 5, starting with verse 14. A lot connected with this little song we just sang. Jesus is talking, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "You are the light of the world. A city held on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who art in heaven." Let me ask you something. Have you ever been in total darkness? You know, if I cover up the camera, darkness. When I was in my graduate work in geology at Notre Dame, on one of our field trips, they took us into Mammoth Cave. And the guide, who was not overly happy with us being there, sat us down in one of the rooms in the back part of the cave and then shut off all the lights. Have you ever been in total darkness? I see some of you raising your hands. Yeah, I have. You know, in the ancient world, when the evening fell, it was total darkness. And what they had to counter that darkness was an oil lamp. One of the interesting things that has happened to me is that many, many years ago, I was privileged to do a lecture in Denver, Colorado, and one of the people that came who was not a believer was a man named Foster Standback. And he was converted in that program, and one of the things he has done is to establish a museum in Nebraska, which he put my name on. And he gave me this oil lamp. This was all they had for light. He poured the oil in here and you lit it in here. Can you imagine? We are so used to having light. I mean, the other night I was downstairs in the basement. We have a TV down there and the power went off. And I'm in total darkness. Wow. I sort of paralyzed. Living at a time when there was total darkness brought insecurity. It brought fear. Dawn was a welcome sight. And so as we think about that little song, as we think about light, I hope we can just visualize what it would be like to lose light. My wife, Phyllis, had a eye problem in which blood vessels were seeping blood into the eye. And I still vividly remember one morning we got up and I heard her essentially scream. And I said, what's the matter? And she says, my eye is going dark. What was happening was that her eye was a major blood vessel had broken in the back of the eye, and there was blood seeping down, cutting off her vision. I remember her panic. Total darkness. In Genesis 1 and verse 3, the creation was in darkness. In the third verse, light is one of the first things that God created. And verse 4 tells us, and God saw the light, that it was good. Repeatedly in Scripture, the Bible emphasizes that God's children are children who bring light. And of course, we're not talking about light that comes to enable us to see each other. Matthew 5 passage, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. That's our challenge. In Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 6, Isaiah says, the Lord has called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison and those who sit in darkness in prison. Those of us who work in the prison ministry are frequently talking to prisoners taking our courses about light, about the fact that we come to them with something so different than what they're experiencing in the prison environment. Last time, we talked a little bit about the passage in John, the first chapter, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 9. Did you notice how many times light is mentioned in this passage? Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He goes on to talk about Jesus being born of men. In 1 John, the first chapter, beginning with verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm not sure we've ever really comprehended or paid close attention to the concept of how we are the light of the world, or should be. You know, as a person trained in the sciences, I have a special interest in light. Did you know there are many kinds of light? there's visible light, which enables us to see each other. But X-rays are also a form of light. Ultraviolet is a form of light. Infrared is a form of light. Radio waves are a form of light. Gamma rays are a form of light. All of these things provide different things to our lives. Infrared is heat. If you're sitting in front of a fireplace, you feel the infrared. Even if the flame is not visible, you can feel that heat. We all have radios. Right now on Zoom, we're using radio waves. That's true of the church as well. We all have different kinds of light. Every person listening to this discussion offers light in a different way, just as there are different forms of light itself. But Jesus is a light in every aspect of our lives. See, the way Jesus is light in our family is different than the way Jesus is light in our business, in our recreation. And your light has life too. We are to be lights. In 1 John 6, beginning with verse 7, John says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And that cleanses us is an active verb. It's a continuous, ongoing process. One of the things that is nice about this Zoom is that some of us get to talk before our worship and after our worship. When we meet at the building, one of the things that is so important is the opportunity to talk and to hug and to have fellowship. Hopefully that will be restored soon. But I'd like to call your attention to the fact that there's two different kinds of light. There is emissive light, like the sun, and there is reflective light, like the moon. We are to reflect Jesus, not ourselves. Now, some of us emit. I'm trying to do that right now. But what I am emitting is the teachings of Jesus, what I see in his word. Those of us that preach, those of us that speak publicly, those of us that use the web, those of us that use media, we emit. But you want to know what's more important? What does a better job of being the light of the world? Remember the old WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's more effective. The way I live and how I treat people and what goes on in my life, that's much more effective at reaching out to people than anything I say. How do we do that? You know, one of the most significant passages in the whole book of Matthew is the 25th chapter in verse 40, where there's a judgment scene. And it talks about judgment and Jesus saying to people, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was cold and you gave me clothing. I was in prison and you visited me. And that word prison doesn't refer to just a place with bars. That's any kind of prison. And then Jesus concludes that in verse 40 by saying, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. See, what Jesus did was Jesus healed. Jesus taught. And you say, well, I can't heal. I can't talk. Well, I don't know. Let me give you a little object lesson here. There's a candle. Try not to set the office on fire with it. We just sang a song that says, put it under a bushel, a covering. No. You say, well, I don't do as much as I'd like to do. Well, I understand that. Welcome to the club. When you first became a Christian, you may have been like me. I was ashamed to tell anybody. I was afraid to tell people I'd become a Christian. But what happened was that things began to happen in my life. Things that made holes in my bushel. And in spite of me, people began to see light through the holes in the bushel. And hopefully, as I have gotten older, there's more holes in my bushel. And that lets my light shine brighter. Did you think carefully about the song that Bill led us in? You know, every verse of that song is special. It was originally written in the 1920s by a guy by the name of Harry Dixon. And he wrote it as a Christmas carol. Ray Charles did a single in 1955. The song gained popularity in the 1950s as it was performed by activists. A lady named Zephelia Fortin turned it into one of the most recognized civil rights songs. But it says something to us as Christians. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light, I'm going to make it shine. Let me say something, folks. Your light shines. I think sometimes it shines in spite of us, not because of us. But you radiate to the world, maybe through the cracks in your life, the fact that there is a light flickering, weak, but we have a light. And then the second stanza, all around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Hey, we all have different neighborhoods. Your neighborhood's not the same as my neighborhood. But wherever we are put in life, we can let our light shine. And opportunities come that allow us to do what Jesus talked about in Matthew 25. I was hungry and you gave me food. Have you done that in your neighborhood? I was thirsty. You gave me to drink. I still remember vividly walking, picking up trash on Highway 51 and having one of our neighbors bring us a bottle of water. And I thought when that happened, you know, this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 25, an opportunity. I was cold and you gave me clothing. I was in prison. And sometimes that prison is alcohol or drugs or, and you visited me. Wherever you are in life, God provides opportunities to let your light shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. And we need to keep opening spaces in that bushel that our light can shine. And boy, that last stanza. Won't let Satan blow it out. You know, Satan does his best to blow it out. He tries to blow it out with materialism. He tries to blow it out with recreation. When I speak at the church building and I look out the windows at the back of the room, one of the things that's always out there is somebody's boat. That can blow out our light. How we dress. The casino. What movies we watch. What television shows we see. What we read. What we stand for. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. That's the song. It ought to be in our songbook. We used to sing it with kids. But there's so many things that can snuff it out. Our use of time, our pleasure, peer pressure. And I would suggest to you that one of the purposes of the congregational concept of the church is to enable us to let our light shine. Those of us that emit, that speak publicly, how do we do that? We do it because the congregation supports us. For 50 years, I've been doing public programs. In every single public program I've done, one of the things that has always been true is that a congregation made it possible for me to speak publicly. The congregation enables us to speak out. Bible class teachers, prison evangelism, speaking in nursing homes, vacation Bible school, correspondence course graders. These are emitters enabled by the congregation. But those who reflect also do so by the congregation. This is how we serve. One of the things that the congregation does is to enable us to provide food for those that are hungry. That's why the food bank exists. A large percentage of our energy and our money goes to provide food for those who are in need of food. We reflect Jesus when we're cleaning up the highway. We reflect Jesus when we're in a coat giveaway. We reflect Jesus when we send cards to those or make phone calls to those who are isolated or in need or struggling. I can tell you from personal experience that when you're down and somebody sends you a card or makes a phone call, it is so meaningful. It is so important. Our phone calls, our transportation giving, our literature distributors, our visitors to nursing homes, those who make efforts to make contact with those who are physically unable to get out. They're doing what Matthew 25 calls us to do. So why is the church building important on M51? It's not important because we have to have it to worship. We can worship anywhere, anytime. But it's important because it gives us a capacity to reflect to the city of Dowagiac and to the area in which we live, the opportunities that we have to serve. And I would encourage you, anytime you're concerned about what you're able to do, how you're able to be the light of the world, to read through Matthew 25 and think on these words, how this little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on the left and the goats on the right. The other way around. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. The point is, he'll separate them. And the king will say to those on his right, to those who have reflected, let their light shine. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, a kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whenever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let me encourage you to go back to Matthew 5 and realize you are the light of the world. Don't let Satan it out. We have a song that we're going to sing as a conclusion to this discussion that talks about sending the light. This is one of the reasons we meet. This is one of the reasons that we encourage. And I hope as we've talked about light today that you'll think about your own light and how you can make it shine. How being a part of the congregation enables you to open doors and provide help. How every single one of us has a way in which we can send light to the world. And think about all the opportunities that are available to you. There's a call that comes ringing over the restless wave. Send the light. Won't you send your light?